Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. And this is the Racers Roundtable, where racers, race fans, and race officials can get together and just talk about local racing like we like to do. January 3rd, 2023. Starting off new year with new goals. hosting along with myself tonight, the man on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How are you?
What's happening?
New Year's.
You stressed it out?
No, I'm not stressed.
Here's
I'm
a
happy.
Like you've been out there
working.
Working. Hey, got to make a living.
That's right.
Got to make a living.
Yeah, and as you know, I work outside.
So. Yeah, I hear you. I know. Of course, Matt, the freak Esposito, what's happening? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What's happening, man? How's the biz? The flower biz?
We're kind of
flourishing?
Well, kind of slow.
Okay. We'll move on. Guest host. Again, thanks for being here, Justin.
Thanks for having me.
What's up, man? Well, you just keep going with the Bill stuff on the Buffalo. Keep going and going.
When they're not trying to die on the field.
I know, right?
Did you sell that?
I heard about it.
That was a very gut-wrenching thing to see.
Did they make the right call of not playing? Or
yes.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, imagine... Like I was just telling Wyatt, we just watched the video. Imagine you're in a race car and you're racing against somebody and you watch that guy hit the wall and he pretty much flatlines for 9 minutes. You're not going to want to continue to race right then and there, especially if it's like I was telling Wyatt, I was like, these guys are like family to each other. Like they travel together, they eat together, they shower together.
What was that analogy?
They together.
If a racer hits the wall and flatlines, why would you continue? Here's the thing.
Well, you didn't
hit the wall.
Yeah.
You didn't flatline.
There's a difference.
I was unresponsive for a minute.
Yeah.
Well, that's just because you didn't know what the hell hit you.
Well, you have to go 19 minutes to get the right reaction.
But, okay. Sure.
Well, you know, that's in any, you know, and then when that happens, even when it's an incident on the track, when it happens, you know, all competition stops.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
Everybody is realistically, that I know of anyways, if you're associating with somebody that doesn't have any compassion, you're probably hanging out with the wrong people.
Yes.
But, you know, even when an incident happens on the track, everyone just, their competitiveness stops and everybody's concerned about what's happening.
I mean, like, he dropped at the 50-yard line and his teammates watched them take his jersey, his pads off, and use defibrillators to bring him back.
Yeah.
So I'm like, at that point, it's no longer about football. It's no longer about standing.
About life,
If you're seeing someone out there that, you know, that you're doing the same damn thing they are, and now they're fighting for their life. And
yeah, unfortunately, stuff like that happens, you know, not in front of an audience of 70-plus thousand people, but happens, you know, daily, hourly, minutely, whatever. You know,
in racing, used to see that a lot back when it was more lenient, where something would happen and you'd see – racers drive their car right up to the wreckage, get out of the car, and you know they're checking before safety gets there.
Right. Yeah, that anymore.
No.
The red flags that happen at the bull ring, they just keep jumping out of their car.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways.
Well, I'll tell you,
from experience, when I was demolition derbying back in 2000 at the Orange Show, I rolled a Cadillac on its roof, and the guy that hit me that caused me to go over on my roof, he was out of his car and to my side window before the safety crew was there. Yeah.
No, that's cool, you know, to know they're looking out for you regardless of what's happening.
Yeah. We're out there to have fun, but if something along them lines, you know, happens, then all that fun has to stop for them.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. Knock on wood, we hope we never have to deal with something like that.
But on another sad note, Ken Block died in a snowmobile accident.
Oh, really?
Flipped a snowmobile on top of himself.
That's another sports legend.
Yeah.
Well, for motorsports.
Yeah, upended himself and flipped the whole thing on top of him.
Wow, no kidding.
Which is just so bizarre. Someone who, you know, hello, what happened here?
Mine's doing the same thing.
I think mine just went completely dead.
Yeah, mine's doing the same thing.
You know, to have that much control of an out-of-control vehicle.
Right.
Doing the Gymkhana and all that stuff.
Right there. That's
and,
it.
And something simple as a snowmobile.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, it's just so bizarre.
That is bizarre. Would that happen just recently?
Yesterday.
Monday night, yeah.
That's not a good way to start the year.
And that was it. And he was on. Yeah. He was up in Utah because he's got a vacation home up there. And yeah,
so that's what the snow will do to you. That's why we stay in Vegas. No snow. See what happened? Was that a home game?
No, that was in Cincinnati.
Oh, all right. Well, that's still snowy. Anyways.
Got to brighten the mood.
How do we brighten the mood? Well, what are you watching? You got hockey on?
Yes.
Who are you guys playing?
Washington. The Capitals. It was just 3-1. Now it's 3-3. It's a good Wyatt stopped watching it. Wyatt was actually watching the real team play hockey.
Dozing off on the couch.
Hey, did you say your team played yesterday?
Yeah, they played tonight, not last night.
Oh, okay.
They played tonight.
Oh. How's that when they're playing tonight?
No, they play at 7 o'clock.
No.
Then the real team will play.
Yeah, how'd that real team do against my Sabres? I believe it was 6-0. You completely avoided that show.
No, I watched it. I think we were live on the radio.
Yes.
Yeah, when they played. Hey, they get lucky sometimes.
Yeah, because it was like every 5 minutes, Justin was having a panic attack.
And I learned in hockey, anything can happen. It's 40 more games.
That's right.
80-something games.
82 games a year.
That's a lot of games.
Yeah.
So Gary was like, we can only race like 100 times a year. That would be okay to him.
52 times a year, we're in.
Yep.
And then if you do good, you race on Sunday.
Do you know how you solve that? Buy your own racetrack, and you can race 52 times a year.
Anytime you want. Hey, not a bad
idea.
Do
I have to buy it, or can I lease it?
Either or. If you're in control of it,
hey, we're halfway there.
You feel like racing, you just...
I can tell you June, July, and August, there ain't shit going to go on down there.
Right.
I can tell you that for sure.
Man. I'm with you on that. That's for
I experienced June, July, and August. There ain't shit going to go on down there.
If it does, it won't be much.
Racing.
It won't be racing, yeah. It'll be indoors.
Mm-hmm. A pool party.
Lots of eating bugs is what you're going to be doing.
Oh, man.
That's all right. But, man, that was a killer this past.
Oh, yeah. Well, that didn't even shut my dog down. It was a cooler month to shut my dog down. My dog collapsed.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to play.
But when I collapse and lay down, I get told, get your ass back up and get to work.
Stop that. We get a cattle probe for him just in case he falls over.
That's right.
We buzz him.
Mm-hmm. Shit, I fall over. Say, help me. They say, get your ass up.
Come on. It doesn't matter if he's faking or not. If it's real, he's better get his ass up and keep going.
Yeah, he knows. Yeah. When his dog fell over, man, he got to come back to Vegas. Drove him home. Man.
He likes the dog.
Pretty much. When he told me to get my ass back up, that pretty much answered my question.
Well, it wasn't just me. It was somebody else there said, hey, get your ass back up and start working.
Hey, what the hell are you doing down there? Get up.
Start kicking him.
Uh-huh.
Roll over. Anyways.
Yeah.
So what have you been doing, Justin?
Reading comments. Hold on. Sorry.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't see the comments at first.
Reading comments, watching his game.
I'm trying to do
and
a
the comments
radio
are
show.
About the game.
Yeah, probably.
I'm trying to do a radio show.
You still choose to do that TikTok thing?
I haven't. I was just talking about that today. I haven't posted a video since June.
Really?
Man.
You're going to lose.
How are we going to make race money if you're not?
Hey, you're going to lose followers or whatever on TikTok. Yeah. Groupies.
You're
going
to lose groupies. Yeah.
Oh. I'm pretty sure.
Where the hell are you going?
Arizona. Arizona commented and she agreed with me.
Okay.
If she watched somebody hit the wall and was in critical condition, she would not be wanting to race either.
Okay.
I'm not alone here.
That's a tough one because, you know, racers are racers. They just want to keep on racing.
Now I see a lot of things on Twitter now. They're like, how many parents are going to pull their kids out of football because it's being dangerous? I was like, I've been watching football for 30 years now, and this is the first time I've ever seen something like that.
Well, and I'm going to make it all conspiracy related. It's because of the COVID shots. I'm telling you, that's exactly what's linked to, and they won't let it go. Okay, anyways, we'll move on.
They won't tell you that part.
I've seen it so much on Twitter, people saying that same exact thing.
I'm telling you, if you dig deeper, you'll get down the right rabbit hole, and you'll see what's up. I don't condone that for anybody, but do your own research. Before.
Opinions.
Yeah. These are our own opinions, yeah. Not particularly that of On Wheels Now.
That's right.
Or myself or Gary. Anyways, you've been watching any racing lately? Because you do the online stuff. Well, tell us about
the races
you've been watching on
that
Pro
was
Racing.
Like. Chat was talking about Flow. I'm like, I watch Flow almost every night now. They just got done with the Tulsa Shootout.
That's what it is.
The Tulsa
Shootout, right. Where my good friend Patrick, who called in before.
Now, that's the indoor midget race.
In the,
indoor, and that's really cool.
The Expo Center.
Yep.
In Indianapolis.
That's the Chili Bowl.
Yep.
The
Chili Bowl's coming up. They just did this race. And
the Shootout, now they're doing the Chili Bowl coming up. Right. Okay.
I had an alarm set for my alarm to go off at 7 a.m. because that's when the racing was starting, and they were racing until 10 o'clock at night for five nights in a row. They had over 300 heat races.
Well, wipe that smile off your face. Five nights.
Wow. Five nights of racing, over 300, I think it was like 330 heat races.
Oh, yeah.
Between winged, non-winged, stock classes, and then the juniors.
And these are all midgets.
Yeah, the micros.
Micros and midgets.
And
indoor. Indoor.
It was.
Did they have the heaters on?
They said it was actually hot in there.
Everybody was tired because they didn't have any exhaust in there.
The fact that there was that many cars.
Yeah.
Like, who knew that there was 300 midgets out there?
I know, right?
The issue is like Patrick, the guy who called into the show before, he was running all four divisions. One was a wing. One, he put the wing on. Then he would take the wing off.
Oh, wow.
Then it was a stock restrictor. So it was just a restrictor put on the motor. And then there was another class. I'm not sure what the change was, but it was four different. So he ran all these different heat races. And
that's pretty cool you could do that.
And I would just text him, like, what heat are you in today? And he'd be like, I'm in heat number 10, heat number 28, and heat number
115.
Wind, restrictor, this. So it was like, oh, damn. So I would just have Flow on and check back in. And
did you finish good in any of the?
So he was kind of down on himself because he didn't even make the A main. He kind of had a bad weekend. He flipped day number one, got the car back together. He finished like fifth in one of the heat races, and only the top two transferred out of that many cars. There's over 1,500 cars racing. So They get a good turnout down there. And I was
what
like,
was that? Five nights?
Yeah, five nights.
It's possible, Gary.
And
join us in 2024 for the Blythe Speedway Shootout.
The Blythe Speedway 365 seasons. 365 days a year. Every day.
And that's what I told him. I was like, because Kyle Busch raced with them.
And his
Kyle Busch brought his car down there, and Braxton did too. And Kyle didn't make the A main. That's how talented this is. And I texted Patrick. I was like, don't put your head down because Kyle Busch is one of the best in the world. And he didn't even make it to the A main. But it's a lot of luck when you're racing that much. And you just hope your car gets put back together if you do flip it, or he did flip it.
Now, do you know anything about the event itself? Do you know, was there much of an audience, or was it mostly just back gate stuff?
From what it looked like on TV or Flo, and I didn't get to watch it Saturday because we were out doing stuff, but that was the A main. But during the week, it looked like it was just kind of family and friends of the races.
It wasn't like really a spectator race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see, but from what I hear, on Saturday, it actually did. A lot more people came in because that was the A main. Mm-hmm. But that also might have been racers up in the stands that didn't make the A main. They're just up there watching now. So.
Right. You can only see the 1,000. We got 1,000 guys that didn't make the A main watching.
Huh. Interesting.
It was a long week.
Interesting.
I couldn't imagine being there for 5 days. And they were talking about the track crew. The track crew would sit there because they would run like 20 heat races, and they would resurface rework the track, and then continue. They would take like 30 minutes off, continue. And then after the final checkout of the night went, they were there for another 3.5 hours. The one guy was saying he was there from 7 a.m. to 4 o'clock the next morning, went home, showered, came right back, and reworked the track again.
Wow.
So I was like, that's just...
You'd have to also get different crews in there.
He's getting paid overtime.
They were talking about the volunteers are just that is what they are. They're volunteers, and they were out there anytime. They had like, I think the last update I got was 73 flips, and you're in the middle of that little track, so they're not all little golf carts. They're running to you.
Wow.
Wherever you wreck, they run to you.
Huh, interesting.
The game's not going good.
Hey, that's 1 point. Big deal. Yeah.
We were just winning 3-1, and now it's 4-3. We're losing.
We see how quick that can change.
Let's stop watching.
Wait till overtime.
Wait till the shootout.
Right. Now, that's interesting, you know, to be able to put a race like that on and have that many attendees. Man,
yeah.
It's in not, not normal.
Yeah. I wish every racetrack had that many people wanting to show up every night.
Yeah. I wonder what it takes to do that because
it takes the 5 days a week. That's what it
takes.
Well,
yeah, that's different. Like you have to think of the area too. You know, you're in Oklahoma, you can draw from Texas, draw from Florida, you draw from all the Midwest states. You know, you're kind of a real decent, almost a centralized location.
And like it was mainly people from that area. Like Patrick lives in Texas,
right.
Not me, Patrick.
Yeah, the real Patrick. Yeah.
Patrick Lundy lives in Texas, and
where it, was it Houston?
Alvin.
Okay,
which is by Houston, I want to say.
Yeah, probably.
Jacob Quintaro asked, so Blythe Speedway, so the first race is February 11th, correct?
Yeah.
That's correct.
And the practice is January
28th and February 4th. And matter of fact, if he wants to tune in at 7:05, we're going to be talking about Blythe specifically at 705 at blythespeedway.net if he wants to go there. And of course
Facebook
of,
or
Blythe's Facebook page. Tune in at about 705 ish right after this show at On Wheels Now.
Or if he wants to go to blythespeedway.com, he can see the schedule.
Okay.
The
and that's the
schedule.
Updated schedule.
Yep.
Correct. So yeah, definitely check that
just
out.
Just get the thumbs up. So.
Sweet. Perfect.
Cool.
Now, good question.
What's the number?
Which one?
For to call in.
We can do that one, or you want to do the? You can call into that one.
Let's do this.
And while we're waiting, I want to just put a shout out to Cindy. You want to make sure you get your earbuds. If I can find her information, I think it's 725-333-HEAR. Give Cindy a call. Well, I can't see that. 725-333-HEAR. Hair Claire. Get a hold of Cindy. She can get you some earbuds. Custom made just for you.
I need some more cards.
Reasonable
Cindy.
Price.
I don't know.
There used to be one right there. I don't know where it went to. But check them out. Get some if you need regular hearing aids or know somebody that don't think they need one, but you want to get them some, go ahead and give her a call, 725-333-HEAR, and that's Cindy Clark at Hair Claire. Anyways.
I used to have that number memorized, and now I don't. We don't say it enough anymore.
Which one? Oh, that number.
The call-in number.
I don't even remember it. So. But that's okay.
That's why I have it right here.
Cool. Anyways, so other racing going on this past weekend. Havasu had their, what do they call it? It was just a regular.
It was Happy New Year's Eve.
Is it Happy from, New Year's race or some New Year's
from
Eve?
What I read, or from what the race monitor said.
And that was Saturday, right?
Yeah, that was actually New Year's Eve.
So,
and from what it looked like, it got a little rough. Aaron McMorrin went down there, and
really?
Mike Miller got in time to go to the New Year's Eve party with us, and he was showing me a picture of McMorrin's car, and both sides of his car were ripped off.
No way. Wow.
4-4. We're good.
Crazy.
See how fast it changes?
Yeah, see? You can go get down.
Now look at him smiling.
Be happy. Be happy.
Yeah. We're going to let
We got Patrick on the phone, right?
We're going to try.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Patrick. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
I was told y'all already talking about me. Probably not a good thing.
Well, I don't know. Why don't you tell us the story?
I said it was good. I said don't hang your head too much because Kyle Busch didn't even make same name.
Oh, man.
So you tell us how it went. So tell us about the evening. You know, are there practices, you know, leading up to that race? I mean, what kind of time does it take to do something like that?
The way that works for the shootout is, so depending on how many classes you run, because you have outlaw winged, outlaw non-wing, A-class wing, A-class non-wing, restrictors, which I can't race because I'm too old, and then junior sprints, which also same thing, because that's a kid class as well. So you get as many practices as you do classes. So I get 4 practices because I'm in 4 classes with the same car.
That helps.
Because seat time is seat time.
Yeah.
My practices were fine. And then my first heat race, I mean, I didn't do the greatest, but at least I finished. And then my second heat race, I got stuffed into the wall.
Oh, that sucks.
On the first lap set, and I started on the pole.
Did you see a lot of people from your hometown?
Yeah, so we ended up having just our group that we have here. We probably had, what was it? I think we were at like 15 cars between 2 different trailers.
Oh, that's cool.
And we're not talking like 40-foot trailers. We're talking one of the trailers is only 22 foot, and the other one is probably a 24-foot trailer.
Well, you got to stuff them in, huh?
Oh, yeah. They are packed in there like sardines. They had 96 trailers in there altogether, and then
wow,
what was the entry count? I think the entry count was like 1,700.
That's insane.
That's the last I seen. It was 15, but that was on day one.
Yeah.
Did anyone in your group do well or further than you?
My little buddy, my best friend's son. He ended up actually making an A feature.
Oh, sweet. What's his name and his car number?
His name is Dalton Moss, and his number is the 84.
Okay. Well, congrats to him. We're making the A-main against a lot of great drivers, I'm sure.
A-main in any class there is hard.
Yeah. Right. Did
he ended up finishing 22nd in his feature.
Oh, that's pretty damn good.
Out of that many cars,
yeah. Amazing.
And out of 133 kids, like, finishing 22nd is not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Is there certain things that you would do different next time when you go back?
So that's what we always try to plan for. The shootout always ends up, the track itself always ends up slicking off pretty quick. Unless they just reworked it, then you will end up having a little bit of a tacky track, or if it's the beginning of the day. So we always like try to prepare to make our cars tight so we can actually like put the power down.
Right.
But every year, I don't know what happens, but it just seems like a lot of us just can't get our cars to hook up. We're still just sliding around.
How
makes it a little bit less fun.
Well, did tires have anything to do with that? How do they do their tire management out there? Do you guys run certain tires?
We have a, well, kind of a spec right rear tire. It's an ASCS2 tire. It has to be stamped ASCS2. And then the rest of the tires, doesn't matter which brand you use. You can use American Racer or Hoosier. It doesn't matter.
Oh, wow. They spec one tire, and that's
really
it.
They're really strict about that right rear.
Interesting. And that's the same for, like, the different guys that show up from different states, huh? They have similar rules?
Because some places, they allow you, like, depending on which track you go to, they'll allow you to run an American Racer right rear. But some tracks are with now 600s, and now 600 is exclusively a Hoosier ASCS2 tire.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
So is that a harder or softer compound?
I would say it's maybe in the middle.
Okay.
But sometimes they burn up. It just, sometimes those tires are so hit or miss. Sometimes they burn up so fast, and then sometimes I've had a tire last a full season. But that's also
right.
Depends on the track conditions, too. Because if a track rubber is down, you're going to lose that right rear of the night.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's why we prefer American Racer tires. They're a lot better, more consistent.
They stay consistent.
And so I had all four brand new tires all the way around my car this whole weekend. And even with the flip, I took the rim off and just put the tire onto a new rim.
Oh, wow.
And the right rear is, I'd probably say, about 50% done.
Could you run like as many tires as you wanted to, or did they just say if you qualified on a set, that's the one you had to race on?
Oh, if you have the money, you can put a brand new right rear on that tire every race.
No way. Oh, wow.
They have no problem with that. They want you to spend your money.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure they do. I'm sure they sold a lot of tires.
I try to help out one of the brands. It's called Factor One. They actually sell the Hoosier tires. They're a distributor for them.
Okay.
So when I go to the shootout, I'll drive over to Factor One and go pick up a full pallet of tires and bring it to the shootout for them.
Oh, cool.
I just need to start working out a deal with that, though, because I don't get anything out of that. I literally just help them out for free.
Well, see, now you dangled the carrot for them. Now they need to start paying.
Yeah. Need some sponsorship
help
money.
Right.
Yeah.
Help you get in or something.
Like, hey, can you guys give me a right rear? Because these things are 240.
Yeah, you got to make the A-main next time. So you got some work to do.
I got a lot of work to do. My ultimate goal is just to, right now, is just to make getting to race on Saturday. Because by Saturday morning, a lot of people already have all their stuff packed up, and they're ready to, like, leave. Because they didn't make it. So you pack your stuff up, and if your trailer isn't in there, then you'll just roll the car out and go put it in your trailer, and then if you decide to stay and watch the racing, you'll stay and watch. Or you'll go home. But you can't pull a trailer out until most of the time it's midway through the last race. But something happened this year where they didn't even allow a trailer to go out until, I would say, 30 minutes after the shootout was done.
No kidding.
I mean,
it's definitely weird.
From what I've seen on TV, I mean, they're like, it was just the trailers. Like, there was no trucks connected to them. And they were all bumper to bumper, side to side.
They have these two guys that are on forklifts, and they're pretty big forklifts. These guys know how to maneuver these trailers. Like, yes, they have spotters and stuff, but I mean, this is what they do. And I've never seen them touch another trailer to another one, like, no collisions whatsoever.
That's cool.
They turn them things on a dime in there. It's actually pretty fascinating watching them do that, getting them in there.
That's crazy. Is that the furthest race you go to, or do you have you reached out to other further races?
I would say it's pretty close. I know that that's the longest race I go to.
Is it?
Yeah. The other one I would say that's pretty far. I guess it's not even that far. Corpus Christi is a pretty good drive for us,
too.
Okay. But that was only a one-day show. That's why we like the shootout so much, because you go up there for a week. You better love racing if you go to the shootout, because you are there from pretty much 7:30 until 10:30 at night.
Wow. Is it stressful? I mean, do you like that kind of that competition happening?
Can be stressful if you're somebody like me who, so yes, I'm going with my friends and stuff, but realistically, I'm actually going there by myself.
Right.
But you can't start up your car to get it up to the hot grid. You have to physically push it over there.
Oh, no
kidding. So everybody normally uses rollers and stuff because it makes it a little bit easier to push it up.
Yeah.
But if you're pushing your car up there by yourself, you are worn out, especially if you're all the way in the back.
Yeah, that would be tough.
We're talking like over 100 yards to push it up to the front.
Oh, man. We couldn't do that. And then you got to get yourself buckled in, get all set and ready. Oh, man.
Yeah, and so that's the other problem. So they line up probably almost 8 races every single time. And so once you get to, like, there's 3 more races ahead of you, that's when you start to get in your car. Well, if you have nobody helping you, you get in your car, you better hope those officials will sit there and push you.
Yeah.
Need to make friends with the forklift guy.
Yes, pay him off.
Let's just say the official girls that line everybody up, they got gift cards to Starbucks.
Good idea. Right.
I'm not joking. And they were like, what's this for? And I was like, because y'all were helping me.
That's really cool. You know, like I said, a lot of them are volunteers and stuff like that, so it probably helps them too, you know, a little something extra.
Yeah, I don't know if they get I don't know how that works.
Right.
So he just got really low.
Are you all there?
Yeah. We might have lost.
I don't know how that works, if they get paid or not.
Mess with that cable again.
I just know that they're there longer than we are sometimes. Because they'll be there when we get there, and then we'll leave, and they're still doing the official scoring stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, it sounds like a really fun race. I know Gary here would love to have a race like that, 5 days of racing and
1,500.
Go home for
1,721 cars.
Damn.
Yeah.
So what's wrong with that?
Go home for a few minutes and then go back racing? Why not?
Exactly.
That's cool.
I think they said it was like 358 races or something.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane.
They did the statistic on it, and they showed how many green flag laps, how many finishes, things like that. They put them all up on one post. So just seeing those numbers is crazy.
But I was saying the stock mound wing alone, there was 433 entries.
Yeah.
There was 406 in the non-wing outlaws, 248 in the winged outlaws, winged A class was 400, and the junior sprint was 100.
And it's all Greek to me, but it sounds like a lot of race cars.
And each heat was how many cars?
12.
Say it again.
How many cars was in each heat race? There was 12 to 14, right?
It was in between 10 to 12 on each one. And then once you started getting into the E's, the D's, and the C's, it started getting more and more.
That's true. Do you mind me asking what the entry fee was for that?
Mm-hmm. So if you do early registration, it's $100 for each class.
Okay.
That's
early.
That ain't horrible.
Yeah, so if you race 3 classes yourself, you have to pay for each one.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's why, if you're paying that much for hotels and the gas money up there and everything like that, that's why I run all 4 classes.
Right.
I pay the extra couple $100 and just run all 4.
Yeah, you might as well get as much racing as possible.
If you're going down there, you might as well at least race as much as possible.
Did they have spectators there?
So not so much throughout the week.
Okay.
Honestly, I think it's kind of sad to say this, but I don't really think the people in Tulsa really know about micro sprint racing.
Right. Well, I mean, I was just wondering.
There's
because,
not a whole lot of people there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know a lot of times events like that might not be set up for a lot of spectators, but more for television or pay-per-view and, you know, the local,
right.
Not local, but the racers, the back gate stuff.
I mean, they advertise for it, and the stands are there for people to come in, and it's pretty cheap. I think it's like $10-$15
wow.
to watch.
Hmm. That's
for the
crazy.
Day. Maybe people are working.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It is during the middle of the
yeah.
week, so, I mean, that could also be what hinders us.
What?
But now, Saturday night, the stands are packed, like 100%.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How many spectator seating do you think there is? There, like, 2,000, 3,000, or?
On Saturday night, you probably, I'd say probably closer to, like, 1,500.
Okay.
Because half of, I would say almost half of the people that are in the spectator stands are actually from the pit side.
Right, right.
Because we run out of room on the pit grandstands
yeah.
On Saturday night. There's just too many people there.
Right. Oh, that's cool. I mean, that's an experience.
I mean, that race is so much fun.
It's a lot of racing.
Well, not everybody, but a lot of people complain about, oh, it's, you don't win anything if you you win the race. Not to me, that race has never been about the money. It's always been about the trophy. Like, you
right.
want the Golden Driller.
Well,
that's the
what is
thing you're going
what is
for.
The payout? Is it like a $10,000 payout for the?
Say it again.
What's the payout? $10,000 for the
yeah,
winner.
Yeah, $1,000.
Okay.
But still, if you can finish even in top 10 out of 400 cars per class,
yeah.
that's still freaking amazing,
right? And you know,
if I even made a feature
right.
like, ever in my life,
it's worth it.
Out, I would be ecstatic.
Yeah,
right, and some good bragging rights and all that. Did you see many, like, stars there, like other, like, high-end racers there from different tracks or famous people besides Kyle Busch? I mean, did you even
oh,
see
yeah.
him?
So I didn't see him this year. He was being a little weird this year, which I can explain that if you'd like.
Yeah.
But, like, Jason McDougal was there. He's a big micro sprint guy.
Okay.
But he's always there because he's related to the people who own Factor One. That's a chassis builder.
Okay.
So microsprint-wise, there was a bunch of big-name guys there. Like, the people, if I name off, you'll be like, who's that?
Right, right. Yeah, it's a whole different world for us. So yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Kyle Busch was being weird this year. So last year, he walked by our pits, like, I would say 50 times because our where we park was just pretty much right outside the door from where his hauler was. Because he just stays there.
Mm-hmm.
He sleeps in his hauler. We constantly saw him. And then he would also walk over with his race car, because you don't really get in it until you get over to the hot grid. And that's when you hop into your car and you just kind of slowly mm-hmm. get into it and just relax. This year, he was already in his car before he even got up to the hot grid. And then normally when you go to scale and stuff, you'd get out of your car and then walk back with your car. He wouldn't get out of his car. He's
huh.
having people push it back over for him. Like, he didn't want to be bothered by anybody saying hi or, hey,
right.
can I have a picture or autograph or whatever.
Huh.
Which is nuts.
Yeah, that is
weird. I think it might be a weird moment with his transition from, you know, Gibbs to RCR that he didn't want a lot of people just constantly asking him.
We see who the Kyle Busch fans are and you're making excuses for him. No, just
I was just thinking the same thing.
I'm just
that's
kidding.
What I heard too.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the constant questions.
Right.
Like, oh, and this and that when he doesn't know yet. You know, he hasn't started the new season yet, hasn't started the new car.
He's not new at this game, so I
right.
think he knows, you know. I mean, I don't know. He should expect
so,
it.
That was definitely weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Christopher Bell was there last year and the year before, and I have, like, this. I've had interactions with Bell multiple times. I've
oh,
met him
cool.
multiple times. I've had half-hour conversations with him.
Wow.
He's actually a really nice guy. Last year when we went to go do draw, he was right behind me in the draw line, and we were in that line for over 45 minutes.
That's crazy. That's
and
cool.
That was right when they switched over to these new cars, so I was asking them about the sequential shifting and stuff, just
right.
asking them just random questions, and we were just sitting there having a conversation.
That's really cool.
But Bell, he doesn't do that. He walks up with his car. You could stop and be like, hey, can I have a picture with me? He goes, yeah, sure. Take the picture with you real quick.
Huh.
You can talk to him for a minute. And as racers and stuff, we know, especially with Bell or the popular people, like, we know that we can go say hi to him and stuff, but, like, we also know when not to go say hi. Like, clearly he's working on the race car.
Yeah, you don't want to.
You're right. Right.
I walked over to Bell and was like, hey, can you come over to my trailer real quick? Because we have a bunch of kids over there, and I would love to meet you. He's like, yeah, sure. And he started walking. He didn't even know which direction we were going. He already walked past me, and I had to go catch him.
Yeah, over here, right?
Yeah.
But, I mean, guys, like,
that's
cool.
That Bell is.
But see, guys like Bell, they grew up doing that. That was where they came from. Like Kyle Larson, you see Kyle Larson in a World of Outlaw event, which is sprint cars. He's the same way, and people are all the time, he's approachable. It was like
Kyle Larson didn't want to race this because the purse hasn't changed in years.
He wants it more.
Yeah, well, cost of running these tracks has gone up and stuff. You know, they're lucky to get that kind of money already. So
yeah.
He shouldn't. Why don't he put in his own money then? And then since he's got it, hey, I'm just.
I can't say anything bad about like the money for the shootout or
right.
the Chili Bowl because they do such an amazing job. It's Matt Ward and Ashley Ward, their husband and wife. They kill it.
You know, that's
now,
cool.
There's some things I don't understand. Like I just found out tonight. I didn't know this. So we pay $1,500 to have a trailer put into the shootout. And there's 96 trailers this year.
Wow.
The Chili Bowl, to have a trailer put in there, they don't pay anything.
Oh, wow.
So, and I did the math on it. So having 96 trailers in there before a car was even started, and like I said, I don't know how much they pay to rent the building out or whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
It was $144,000.
Right.
Before a car was even started.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, there's obviously expenses and stuff like that. The good thing about an event like that is it gives guys you know, a place to race, a unique experience like that, and a chance to be able to race against the bigger names that show up to the larger events like that. And like you said,
oh, yeah.
With Chris Bell.
Last year, I raced against Haley Deegan, like
yeah.
A legitimate race. Wasn't hot lap, it was a legitimate race.
Actual racing, yeah, that's cool.
I'm glad I beat her because that would have really been embarrassing.
Hey, you know, there's two ways you can get notoriety from racing at someone like that. It's either beating them or taking them out. So your choice.
And then Haley actually didn't even race this year, which was surprising.
No way.
Her and her boyfriend both got cars now.
Huh. Well, that's who knows why. You know, stuff happens.
No clue. I mean, her boyfriend is really big into the racing, what's his name? Something K-Brew. He's honestly a really badass micro sprint driver.
Really? Huh.
Normally always in contention to even make the A-Main, so it was really surprising not seeing either of them there this year.
Interesting. Do you see your...
Something happened last year, and they were like, okay, we're not doing this.
Well, I think she's possibly leaving Ford.
I thought she just signed with somebody.
Yeah.
Ford.
Yeah, Thor Sport.
Yeah.
I think she just signed with
Thor
Sport.
Are they?
Yeah.
I know she was looking, and there was a possibility that she wasn't driving a Ford. So it might just be a transitionary thing that you know,
well,
they took
the
off for the year.
The team she transitioned over to was Toyota, and they switched over to Ford.
Is that what it is?
Well, they switched back to Ford. Let me correct myself. They were a Ford company for a while. They switched over to Toyota for a couple years, and then... Now they're back at Ford again.
So she probably...
that's what Crafton right, drives, the Thor Sport.
Yeah.
So how big is the track? Is it an eighth mile or is it bigger than an eighth?
My home track is supposedly an eighth mile, and the Tulsa shootout is smaller than that.
Oh, wow. Even smaller than that. That's insane.
I know that we're screaming around there for such a small track that
Fifth mile, wow. You know, that's a lot of action happening.
Nice.
How many laps do you guys do in a main...
So there's one, the outlaw winged race is 55 laps, and
wow.
That's a dedication to something Crawford. I don't know his first name. And that was his car number, and I don't know what happened there. Like, I know he passed away, but I don't know. I don't know the actual reason of what happened, like if he died in a racing accident or something else. The other features are either 25 or 30 laps.
Okay. Yeah, so you get some racing in, especially on a track that size. That's a lot of laps.
And the 55 lap race this year, the Outlaw Winged race, went green to checkered. Not a single caution.
Wow.
The race lasted like 11 minutes and 20-something seconds.
That's cool.
Wow. I was some of the heat races. Some of those heat races were. It was like 8 laps.
And they were flipping. Really bad when you're on the ramp and you're stuck behind those ones that just keep flipping and flipping.
And they flip a lot. What was the flip count at? Do you know?
I think it was 107.
Yeah.
No kidding. Damn.
But I mean, those cars flip so easy with the open wheels.
Oh, we know how it is at the bull ring when you're sitting in staging and you see those yellow lights go on.
Whenever you're in behind the legend cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you know, nobody likes
yeah,
to see.
They bounce
like
and they go for a ride when we decide to flip.
How much stuff did you tear up in your flip this year?
Money wise, or are we talking just part wise?
Part wise.
What was it? 2 torsion arms, brake rotor bent. It didn't break, it bent. My case saver did its job. Case saver saves the motor when the chain comes up and decides to smack it. Makes it so I didn't have a hole in my motor. That's why I was able to continue.
Huh.
What else? Some radius rods, brake line, front steering arm, the right rear rim. I mean, altogether, part-wise, it's probably about $600.
Damn.
And you were able to put this all back together. Yeah. How long did it take you to put it back together and start racing again?
So probably about 4 hours.
I want to say that was like heat race 28 that you flipped, right?
Yeah, so that's where I got crazy lucky. So it was heat race 28, like you just said. But that was the fourth race out of the day.
Yeah.
And then my next race wasn't until...
It was like 132, right?
Yeah, 132 or something. So
128.
I had like 8 hours until I was back on the track again.
But see, that's
the only like positive thing about when it happened was because I had so much time to put it back together.
Right. But that's what we talk about grassroots racing, how you want to do it. These are the stories that I like to hear.
Right.
That you wrecked, you fixed it yourself, you got back on the track.
Right.
You're not, shipping it off to some warehouse and somebody's, using a computer to, measure it out and do just throw it back together and let's go.
Now, did you have the parts on you, or is there a truck there?
That made it fun. so I had some parts.
Then you go.
There were some things I didn't have. I didn't have a brake rotor.
You go trailer to trailer and ask for them, or have to find some.
So you're gonna like this because of what you just said. So the brake rotor, I went out to my truck to go look at my spare parts just to see what I had of things I needed to find. And I was limping because I was hurting. I'm still limping, actually. That one hurt. And this guy was like, "You all right?" And I was like, "Yeah, I just crashed and trying to find parts that I don't have." And he goes, "Well, what are you looking for?" And I was like, "I'm looking for a brake rotor." And he was like, "I think I have a used one. You can use it if I have it." And I was like, "What?"
That's cool.
And he goes, "Yeah, follow me." So I went with him, and he had a brake rotor that he let me put on my car. And he said, "Just mail it back to me."
No way. Oh, that's cool.
Both brake rotors are like $80.
What a brake rotor.
And this is a guy I've never met before in my life. We have two different car manufacturers completely.
Wow.
Like he's in a Hyper. I'm in a P&P. And he's like, "Yeah, I got one. Just mail it back to me. No big deal."
That's really cool.
See, that's what you like to hear.
Yeah.
That's
what events like
that. Racing.
You get guys like that, but you also get guys that aren't going to help nobody. For their own.
Right.
You know what, though? There's more guys that are willing to help than not, I believe.
You get guys like Wyatt over here that would give you anything.
But you pay the price for him.
I had to go buy some stuff from. One of those radius rods is $140. Or not radius rod, torsion arms. So I had to go to the D1 trailer and go buy that thing brand new, which I just bought one, so it kind of sucks because that was the brand new one that was on the car.
That sucks.
But it was still better than last year, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the fact that I was able to put the car back together and keep racing.
So last year, he had a bad wreck.
The part that sucked was, so I raced that night, and I was okay. Like, I was hurting, but I was all right. No big deal. Thursday, Thursday night, to be specific, I was hurting really bad to the point where when I got in my car, I don't cry for anything. I have to be hurting pretty bad or be really, really pissed off. And getting in the car, I started crying.
Oh, that's bad.
And I was hurting so bad that I was starting to get to the point of almost passing out because I was in so much pain.
Did they make you go into the ambulance and ask a bunch of questions?
No.
No?
Nope.
No, they just let you go and you're on your way.
If you get up out of your car and tell them that you're fine, they're not going to do any of that.
Oh, crazy. Wow.
Well, when you get on...
I mean, at that moment, you seem like you are fine.
So yeah, that's true.
Yes.
Well, his interview, he called himself stupid, so...
Yeah, it is. Also, custom that interview, and then I don't know, I didn't tell you this, Justin, but when they said that I went to go say hi to somebody, what I was doing was flipping the guy off on the back straightaway.
I kind of figured that one.
There was no reason to hook me into the wall.
Yeah, lap one, turn
on
one.
First lap.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just crazy.
Well, and you would think everyone in your type of racing knows that when you get hooked up like that, they don't just, you know, spin.
That was,
things happen.
For me, it was more of that was one of those drivers that has money.
Yeah.
Which I know he does. And it, so it's kind of a, I don't really care.
Right. That's crazy.
And the guy that ended up putting me into the wall isn't that technically the one that actually ended up making me flip. It was the second guy that hit me, but I can't blame the second guy because he had nowhere to go.
Right, right.
So I
went over to that second guy and made sure that he knew I wasn't flipping him off.
Hey, do you think an event like that makes you a better driver at your local track? Do you feel like you've gained a lot more experience from an event like that?
No.
No. When's your next race? Locally.
January, February. Sometime in March.
Okay. So you got a little ways to kind of think about it, huh?
To heal.
The reason why I say that it doesn't help is because people are way too aggressive there because it's Tulsa Shootout. You want to make the A, you will run people over to do it. So you're not really getting the time to, like, figure it out because you're in the back of your mind, you're like, okay, somebody could be behind me about to run my ass over.
Right. So is it
that's
my
exactly
trip,
what happened.
The Chili Bowl's coming up? Is that something you're going to be involved in?
No. I will be watching that from home somewhere. So maybe not from home, probably from somebody else's house.
What's the difference in those two events? Do you think this is even bigger?
Full-size motor.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Okay.
They have, what are they, EcoTech motors or something like that?
Hmm. So there's a lot of differences.
So they're not motorcycle motors like ours are.
Yeah.
They're not chain-driven. I think they're a little bit heavier, but their power-to-weight ratio is even more increased than ours. Because our power-to-weight ratio is already ridiculous. The midgets are even more so, and then once you get into sprint cars, it gets even bigger.
Yeah, of course, the track size is going to be different.
410 sprint car and thing only weighs 1,500 pounds.
Cool.
You can get moving in that thing pretty quick.
Yeah, no doubt.
If you ever on that thing, it would probably fly.
You ever think about moving into something else, like a midget or?
I would love to.
Yeah.
It's just money.
Yeah. Are there tracks nearby that race midgets and so on?
Not midgets, but sprint cars.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Midgets aren't really a big thing down here in Texas.
Hmm.
We're more of sprint cars, modifieds. Micro sprints and the bomber class is starting to be a little bit more popular because it's cheap and you can just throw your crap and nobody cares.
Right. Cool.
You know the bomber guys.
Vegas, because I remember the bomber class there and that was a whole nother.
Whole different.
People are acting like they're racing a $50,000 car.
I know, right?
I mean, some of those cars I put.
They still treat them that way, trust me. Anyways, hey, appreciate you calling in and enlightening us on what the Tulsa Shootout's about and your experiences racing out there. We look forward to you calling again any point.
Or taking a trip to Blythe Speedway.
Yeah, come on down. Justin will pay your way. No.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he knows Justin right away. Cool, man.
Well,
appreciate it.
If you ever need to talk to anybody about dirt track racing, just let me know.
Yeah, definitely, man. Sounds great. We appreciate it. Thank you, and Happy New Year. I hope your racing this year is everything you want it to be.
Appreciate it. Y'all have a wonderful night, and thanks for having me back on again.
How are we doing, Pat?
Cool, man. That's all the way from
Alvin, Texas.
Alvin, Texas. So it's good to hear different perspectives from different tracks, different types of racing. Of course, I don't know anything about micro sprints, and I don't know if Gary does.
I don't know nothing about those. They got a shit pot full of them. I can tell you that.
Yeah, no kidding. Sheesh.
Flow racing. Buy flow racing. It's the best money you'll ever spend. If you love racing, it's something you can...
I actually seen there, Flow Racing was recording a fight that was going on there in the pits after somebody
got... I was going to ask him, because that was in his first heat race. That was at the top of the ramp, and they actually have a camera at the top of the ramp for that reason, is for the fights.
Did you see?
I just seen a guy get knocked down.
I was watching the whole thing. That guy hooked him, and and then they went inside.
That was in Patrick's heat race. That was the first heat race for him.
They hooked him on the front stretch, and, you know, naturally that guy was mad because he was leading. So
that was the same thing happened to Patrick when he flipped. He kind of got a bad start and kind of got led up, and instead of, like, they kind of gave him room at first, and then they took back off, and the dude just drove through him. And that's what he was saying. And you just see him get hit and turned, and Patrick hits the wall, and then the other dude hit him, and you just watch him flip.
I don't know. I mean, they sound like fun, but I don't know if I'd like to go through that many other flips, because I know I'd be flipping at some point, if not more than not.
That was the craziest part when I did the dwarf cars. The first night I was at Mojave, I watched that dude flip, and he bounced, and I drove underneath him, and that was the worst feeling in the world. Like,
and then he bent a brake rotor.
Yeah.
That's how do you bend a brake rotor?
Because the brake he landed, it went right on the right rear. You just watch him bounce. And half the flips that they were counting was the guy went sideways and then just.
But that's still a flip.
They counted it over. They counted it any time the cage hit the ground.
Oh.
So if your halo hit the ground, that was considered a flip.
Well, I mean, come on, you're in a race car with four wheels. That roll cage should not hit the ground at all.
Right.
I don't care what you're driving.
Under any
circumstances.
Right. Half the wheels on top.
Half the time the berm was so high on the inside, they were getting high centered right in the middle. In the middle of the corner, they would just kind of jump the berm a little bit and just stop. Because they couldn't go nowhere because they were... I was like, you can't have a little car with a big berm. It doesn't work.
Change the berm. Make him where they have to roll back over into the track.
Make rounded cages. So when you roll, you just flip back
rolling. Egg.
You know how little they are. The guys are on feet. And they just grab the car and roll it back over for you. And half the cars that flipped drove away. Like the ones that just barely rolled, they just rolled them back over. You watch the guy take off. And finish race, so.
Sounds like the Hans device is doing their job.
Right.
Doing its job.
I know one kid did get hurt. I don't know what the outcome of that was, and that was another thing I was going to ask Patrick, because one guy did leave in an ambulance.
No.
A Hans device is not foolproof. It's definitely better, but...
I'm kind of shocked they don't, when they have a violent roll, they don't send them to the care center or something. I'm sure that...
Interesting.
They would have one, you know.
You would think, or at least something there.
With that
there.
Many cars, yeah.
Oh well. Anyways, we're getting short on time, and
first radio show
of the year. Happy New Year again to everyone, and hope you had a safe and sane
51 months.
Yeah, exactly. A lot more. I won't be here next week, but there will still be a show.
Yes,
Cindy should be in. And after the show, if you want to find out more about Blythe, go to blythespeedway.com. The schedule, of course, is on the Facebook page, Blythe Speedway Facebook page. We're going to end about 7:05-ish. We're going to be talking about
blythespeedway.com.
Blythe Facebook. That's right. Blythespeedway.com on Facebook. So, hey, we'll see you live at speedway at emeraldnow.com. Thanks for joining us. This is the Fritz.